Parshas Pinchas is usually, not always, but usually in the same week or at the same time that the 3 weeks begin. And there must be some kind of connection between Parshas Pinchas and introducing us to the concept of Golus and teaching us somehow from the Parsha exactly how we're supposed to deserve Eretz Yisrael, what if Chas V'Shalom we do wrong, we lose Eretz Yisrael. And certainly while we're living here now in Eretz Yisrael, how are we supposed to behave in order to make sure that we remain in Eretz Yisrael? In this week's parasha, we begin with a very interesting but complicated derech of splitting up Eretz Yisrael. In Perek Chav Vav, Pasuk Nun Beis, Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe Lemur. Hashem said to Moshe as follows, Le'ile t'cholik ha'oretz b'nachlo b'mispashemus. To these people, you should split up Eretz Yisrael in the Nachla according to the number of the names. Now, Le'ele, very simply translated, means to these people. Which people? These people that just been counted in the last Perek. Now, all these people. Now, those people who just counted, about to go into Eretz Yisrael, this is who you should split up Eretz Yisrael for. Okay? Le'ele t'cholik ha'oretz. Le'rav tab nachlosoi. Ulema tam nachlosoi. A tribe that has a lot. You have a larger amount of portion Eretz Yisrael. A smaller tribe has a smaller portion. Ish people could have yitanach losoi. Ach begoyrel yecholik es oretz, but with a goyrel, Eretz Yisrael should be split up. Lishmois matois avoisam min cholu, according to the names of the matois avoisam of their fathers, it shall be inherited. Al piagur techolik nachlosa ben rav lemat, whether it's a lot or whether it's a little. Now over here, because it's two conflicting psukim, there's a massive machlekus in the Gemara of Basra exactly how Eretz Yisrael was split up. On one hand, the pasuk says that eile techolik ha'aretz means it's only relevant about who's actually going into Eretz Yisrael. Those people coming right now into Eretz Yisrael, that is how we split up Eretz Yisrael, according to how many people they are. On the other hand, since it talks about brings in the fathers, Lishmois matos avoisom, the names of the fathers, there seems to be a din that you connect it to those people who were not going into Eretz Yisrael, but rather their fathers who left Mitzrayim. So over here there's a machlekes in Baba Basra, there's a machlekes in Kuf Yud Zayin between Rabbi Yonason and Rabbi Shaya. There's a machlekes there, how exactly do you split up the Nachla? Now listen to this very, very carefully, okay? Let's work this out. Let's say a father called Yaakov had two sons, Reuven and Shimon. Now, not Reuven and Shimon, two different tribes. Reuven and Shimon, Yaakov was from the tribe of, let's say, Binyamin. Okay? Yaakov from the tribe of Binyamin had two sons, Reuven and Shimon. Okay? Reuven and Shimon left Mitzrayim. Reuven and Shimon left Mitzrayim. In the Midbar, Reuven had nine sons. Shimon had one son. So as they left Mitzrayim, there were two people. As they came into Eretz Yisrael, there were 10 people. There are 10 other families of Reuben and Shimon, there are now 10 people. How did they...
There were 10.
Reuben's family had 9 kids, and Shimon had 1. So the Reuben and Shimon's family, going back to where they started, went from 2 to 10. So the shaila is now, how did they split up Eretz Yisrael? How many portions did family Reuben and Shimon combined get? So one opinion holds that Eretz Yisrael split up according to those who left Mitzrayim. In other words, they had two portions. And everyone in that generation split up according to those two portions, those people left Mitzrayim. Therefore, family Reuven and family Shimon only had two portions combined. The other opinion holds that it was split up according to those who came into Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, since family Reuven and family Shimon had combined 10 portions, these 10 portions is what we take into account when they come into Eretz Yisrael. So therefore there's 10 portions over here. Okay? However, don't think that they now have 10 portions and that is split up by Reuven getting 9 portions out of the 10 and Shimon getting the 1 portion out of the 10. That is not what happened. Even according to the opinion who says it gets split up according to those who come into Eretz Yisrael, where you have 10 portions, it gets sent back to Yaakov, who had two children. So now what happens is, those 10 portions go back to Yaakov, who hadn't yet even left Mitzrayim, and Yaakov had two children, Reuven and Shimon. Those 10 get split up between those two. Reuven gets 5 portions, and Shimon gets 5 portions. So there's machlekes now. That is whether you have Eretz Yisrael according to those who came into Eretz Yisrael, the Eilid to Chalik Es Aretz, those people coming to Eretz Yisrael, or the Yetzim Mitzrayim, it go according to those people left Mitzrayim. But even according to the opinion who says you go according to those who came into Eretz Yisrael, there's still a very important principle over here of the Shmois Matos Avos Mincholu. You've got to bring the grandfathers into it, and therefore those 10 portions that go back to Yaakov split up between Reuben and Shimon. Now each one's got 5 from that 9 and 1. So there's a big nafgamina. The nafgamina would be in a case where, let's say, you had Yaakov had a brother called Yitzchak, and Yitzchak had 12 children, and Yaakov had 2 children, right? So Yaakov's brother's family would get 12 portions, and Yaakov himself would get 2 portions. That is, we split up according to Yetzim Mitzrayim, okay? But if you only split up according to those Boi Ha'aretz, then you look at something else completely. Look at how many grandchildren you had going into Eretz Yisrael, and that is how you split up Eretz Yisrael. In other words, it makes a huge difference, but even those coming to Eretz Yisrael, he sent it back to the grandfather. Okay? So that's the machlikas. The kasha is, it's a very complicated way of evaluating how much people get in Eretz Yisrael. That's not a derech b'chlal. When on earth do you have a case where the grandchildren make a difference to what the grandfather gets? The Rashi says this is the only place where we find that the mesim are yerish v'chaim. Normally, a chai is yerish the mes. Usually a live person inherits the dead. Here, the grandfather, Yaakov, who died long ago in Mitzrayim, is inheriting the grandchildren who are going to Eretz Yisrael. In other words, those 9 and 1 from Reuben and Shimon, those 10, is going back to Yaakov, is inheriting them and redistributing it according to 5 and 5. Therefore, here, what's happening over here is the mace is being Yerush Lachai. Why on earth, number one, is there Machlekus, whether you go Yetzim Mitzrayim, or do you go according to those who come into Eretz Yisrael, number one, what's the idea behind that? And secondly, why is it that you bring the grandfather into it? Why is it that the grandfather starts distributing the stuff according to who he is? He has nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael. What's the idea behind that? So this, I believe, is the key to understanding what we're doing here in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is not a country that a Jewish policeman is supposed to arrest a Jewish prostitute. That is not the idea. That is not a homeland for the Jews. That is not the idea of Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is a land built on Kedusha, built on Tahara, built on Sur Mira and Asay Toiv. As we know, that in every part of Yiddishkeit, there is a Sur Mira and Asay Toiv. Avodas Hashem is Sur Mira, distancing yourself from bad, and Asay Toiv, doing good. But a person has cancer, you don't start giving him the vitamins to help him. You've got to get rid of the cancer cells. Sur Mira, go through Rahman al-Islam, terrible treatments, get rid of the cancer cells, radiation or chemotherapy, whatever it may be. And then you start building him up. There's Sur Mira and Asay Toiv. There's two parts. The question is, right now, see, really getting this, right? The question right now is, you need Sur Mira and you need Asay Toiv. The shaila is, what is the Ikka? What is the main part? What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Tachlis? What does he want us to do? We need both. But ultimately, what is the key? What is the main function of us coming to Eretz Yisrael? Is it a Sur Mira? Is it an Asay Toiv? What's very clear is, and the Siva Shalom says this, a beautiful piece. Siva Shalom says in a few lines, leaving Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim was Ra. Mitzrayim was Memtei Shari Tuma. Mitzrayim was self-imposed limitations. No slave ever left Mitzrayim. No slave ever got freed from the Tuma of Mitzrayim, ever. So those people who broke away and left Mitzrayim, that, to these people, we are Zeicha, we give them the Zechia, we give them the right to acquire Eretz Yisrael. Because what we appreciate is a Sur Mira. Distancing yourself from leaving Mitzrayim. The Yotzim Mitzrayim, those people left Mitzrayim, those are the ones, the Reuben and Shimon, those are the ones who say, hey, you're doing such a great job, you did Sur Mira, you deserve a piece in Eretz Yisrael. The other opinion holds, no. The other opinion holds that Sur Mira is only an initial stage. The ultimate, the main part of Yiddishkeit is our Asay Toiv. You want to talk about the Litvaks with the Hasidim, Musa against Hasidus, however you want to look at it, the main part is our Asay Toiv. And therefore, what's Asay Toiv? It's not about leaving Mitzrayim, Yetzim Mitzrayim. It's about coming in and building Eretz Yisrael. It's about coming into the land and developing Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, we split up Eretz Yisrael according to the Asei Toiv, according to those people who are coming into Eretz Yisrael. So the Shaila is, you've got to have Sumira and Asei Toiv. What is the Ikka? One man the Omer holds. The Ikka is the Yetzir Mitzrayim and the Sumira. The other pin in the hole is the Asei Toiv coming in and building Eretz Yisrael. Okay? Now.
I want to go back to the grandfather.
Okay, we'll come back to that soon, Mr. Shem. Now, I'd like to develop this a little bit further. There is a parasha a little bit further on, but the Kravna Blei Selovchot. We had a Dor Selovchot, which the Chazal say a lot of praise on. Chachmonios, these people were the Darshonios. These people were big Darshonim. These people were tremendous, the girls. There were five daughters, all spinsters. The youngest must have been at least 40 years old. Right, and there they were, standing, claiming a portion of the father's Selovchot. And they're standing there, and very emotional. They haven't got a piece of land. Moshe Rabbeinu says it's getting too much. Let's speak to Rabbeinu Shlalom. And these people wanted a chedek in Eretz Yisrael. They had chavivas for Eretz Yisrael. The Chazal pour on them praise. Every Rashi came out, talks about how much loved Eretz Yisrael and how they darshaned well. Very, very impressive women. Very impressive women. But there's one parasha over here, there's one pasuk over here, which I want to take apart. And we see, I believe, is an MS to understanding a little bit more of the Sumerav Asei Toiv. You see the puzzle taking place over here. Vatikravno B'nai Selovchot, and the daughters of B'nai Selovchot, Ben Chefer, Ben Gilod, Ben Mochir, Ben Menashe. So you have daughter of Selovchot, who's the son of Chefer, the son of Gilod, son of Mochir, son of Menashe, Le Mishpachois Menashe Ben Yosef, to the family of Menashe Ben Yosef. What's the obvious problem? It should say, sorry? Why does it repeat Menashe? Why does it say Ben Mochir Ben Menashe Limishpachois Menashe Ben Yosef, to the family of Menashe Ben Yosef? It should say Ben Mochir Ben Menashe Ben Yosef. Why is Ben Menashe Limishpachois Menashe Ben Yosef? What's the idea behind that? Okay? Number one. Furthermore, the pasuk carries on. The pasuk says Ovinu Meis Bamidbar, our father died in a Midbar. He was not one of these people who were involved in Adas Korach. Mefarshim explained he wasn't involved. It's Remez here, they wasn't involved in Meraglim and not in Korach. Ki bechet oimei, so died with his own chet. Ubonim lo yehoi lo, he didn't have his own children. Now, what chet did Selovchot die for? Everyone knows that, okay? Rebekiva oimei, mekoishesh eitzim hoyo. Right? He was a mekoishesh eitzim. He cut sticks on Shabbos, chopped wood on Shabbos. And what happened? That was the first Shabbos left after Kabbalah Satorah. He chopped wood and he was killed. Rabbi Shimon argues and he says, Min hama apilim hoyo. He was one of those people who, after the whole story of the Meraglim, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them, they're all going to die in the Midbar, they said, we're going to go up, we'll conquer, we're tough, we're strong, we're going to do it. Hashem said to them, don't bother. Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, don't bother. They didn't listen and they got killed by the Kanani. Okay, so he's one of Mapilim. So Machlekes, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shimon, so whether Kosher ate him or one of Mapilim. Sorry?
What was he doing with Israel? What was he doing with Israel? If he went up after the Meraglim to Eretz Israel.
They tried to go up to Eretz Israel, and in a previous parasha, in parasha Shalach Lecha, and Hashem said, don't bother. Moshe Rabbeinu said, don't bother. Nothing's going to happen. They thought, no, we're going to go up. We're going to be very, very brave. Hashem will help us. Hashem didn't help us. Didn't help them, and they got killed. So it was a chet. They should not have done that. Okay.
He was one of them.
He was one of those people who went up after the Meraglim came back, and he said, "We're going to be tough, and we're going to go up to Eretz Yisrael." It's Mapilim. It's brought down in Shlach Lecha that a whole group of people from that tribe.
They all went. They all died.
Not all. Yeah.
So then, how's he back here living? And then
he's not living.
No, he does. Yeah. But he died for this. Didn't die for that.
What? It's Machlekes what he died for.
Is this Machlekes?
Yeah. One said he died from a kosher eitzim. One says he didn't die from a kosher eitzim. It was Mapilim. Okay. Now, Rabbi Yisai, listen, follow this. What was a chet of Mekoshish Eitzim? Mekoshish Eitzim, what did he do? So Gemara says he did it l'shem Shemaim. He wanted to show Klal Yisrael how terrible it is to do a chet. How terrible it is to break Shabbos. If you break Shabbos, look at me, I get skila. And therefore, Klal Yisrael, I want to show you something, how terrible, terrible it is to do an Avera. Rabbi Yisai, what is this? What is this chet? This chet is exaggerated sur mira. He is saying to Klal Yisrael, look at me, look how bad Ra is. I'm willing to show you an example of myself dying for sur mira. In other words, he did something wrong with overzealousness of Surah Mirah. It's a Surah Mirah, but he overexpounded Surah Mirah. He did a little bit too much, and he died for that. Okay? On the other hand, the other opinion holds, what did he die for? He was one of the Mapilim. What's a Mapilim? Mapilim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them, don't go up to Eretz Yisrael. And they said, no, we're going to go up. We're going to conquer. We're going to win. What is that?
Exaggerated
Asei Toiv. It's an exaggerated, we're going to do more than we're required to, we're going to do it. Says the daughters to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu, we want a place in Eretz Yisrael. We want to come into the land. We're not one of Korach. We're not one of the Meraglim. We know exactly what we need. Ah, you tell us that we come from a bad source. You look at your father, he died. Yes, my father died, you know why? Because he had too much Surah Mirah. Or he had too much Asei Toiv. But we've learned from that. In our blood is Surah Mirah and Asei Toiv. However you look at it, whether you look at it, that the Schus of coming to Eretz Yisrael is a Surah Mirah of Yotzei Mitzrayim, we have it in us. Why? On the Konta Pinim Mekoshish Eitzim, we have Surah Mirah, followers of Mekoshish Eitzim, we have that Surah Mirah in us. We entitled to Eretz Yisrael. If you say, what's the key into Eretz Yisrael? That Asei Toiv, and therefore, Boye Eretz Yisrael, those who come to Eretz Yisrael, that is the key, then it can go according to the opinion who says he was one of the Ma'apilim. That it was Asei Toiv of such an extent that he's so ready to give up his life to do Asei Toiv, we have it in our blood. And therefore, we are entitled to have a place in Eretz Yisrael because we know exactly what Eretz Yisrael is for. And therefore, it could be the Shitta, I'm suggesting, the opinion who says that Eretz Yisrael is going for the Yotzei Mitzrayim is of the opinion that the Chet was Mekoshish Eitzim. Because it's all the source of Surah Mirah. Yeah? And the opinion who says that Eretz Yisrael is bitter according to those people who came into Eretz Yisrael, which is Asei Toiv, he said could be that the Chet over here is a Ma'apilim, which is exaggerated Asei Toiv. Okay? So whatever it is, we are people with exaggerated amounts of Sumeran Asei Toiv, and therefore we certainly are entitled to have the key to go into Eretz Yisrael. Nice? Now, let's take it one stage further. Who were these girls? Who were they? Says a Pasuk. The Pasuk says that they are the children of Bnei Slofra, Ben Chefer, Ben Gilo, Ben Moche, Ben Menashe, Mishpachas Menashe Ben Yosef. What is this? Mishpachas Menashe Ben Yosef. What's that all about? So way back in Parshas Vayechi, we brought from Divrei Yecheskel, from the Shulchan Aruch of a beautiful piece. And he says like this, what is a machlekes Yosef and Yaakov? Who should get the bracha on the right hand side? Menashe says, Yosef said it should be Menashe, and Yaakov says, no, it should be Ephraim on the right hand side. What are those machlekes Yaakov and Yosef? What's a machlekes over here? Says Divrei Yecheskel, the Shulchan Aruch, he says like this, he says, what is the name Menashe? Where's the name Menashe come from? Kinoshani Elakim Mekolamoli. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had made me forget all my terrible past. He had a terrible past, Yosef. Hashem helped me forget. What is that? Surah Mirah. Surah Mirah. That is Menashe. What is Ephraim? Ki Ephrani Elakim. It's from prayer of A. He helped me become fruitful. What is that? Asei Toiv. Yosef and Yaakov had a machlekes b'yisod. What is more important, Surah Mirah or Asei Tov? Yosef said, what's important is a family of Menashe. I represent Menashe. My shitta is Surah Mirah. And therefore, Yaakov Avinu, this is a son you should be putting your koichas into. This is a son that should be on your right hand side giving a bracha to. This is Menashe. He represents Surah Mirah. Says Yaakov, no. I believe it's Asei Tov. How is Surah Mirah? How do you come away? Distance himself from bad by the Asei Toiv, by doing good. And therefore, my main child over here is Ephraim. And therefore, I want to put my hands on Ephraim. Even though Menashe is very important, but Ephraim is a main one. In other words, Yosef held it was Surah Mirah, and Yaakov held it was Asei Toiv. That's the main thing. And therefore, it's a Divrei Yecheskel from Shulchan Aruch. And therefore, Menashe represented Surah Mirah, Ephraim represented Asei Toiv. Okay? Says this pasuk, "Vatikravno b'nei slovchot ben Chefa ben Gilod ben Mochi ben Menashe lemishbuchos Menashe ben Yosef." It was the mishbuchos Menashe ben Yosef means this was a family of Menashe ben Yosef. A family means, you know, you get a family. if you've ever seen it in Baron Rothschild has a special coat of arms where he has five arrows that represented the family. You have a family coat of arms. So the family coat of arms represent what the family is. You get a family of chesed, you get a family of Torah. Yeah? Says the girls over here, you know who we are? We are from the Mishpachos Menashe ben Yosef. We are from their household. We are from what represents Menashe ben Yosef. What's Menashe ben Yosef? Sur Mira. We know exactly what it's all about. We are the children of Mishpachos Menashe ben Yosef. We know that the most important thing to our great grandfather was the Sur Mira. We know we are from Ephraim, but we're from Yosef. We know all about the Kiyus Eretz Yisrael. The Mishpachos Menashe ben Yosef is extra to show us that we know what we're supposed to represent. We know what the keys are. We know what's important. And therefore, all the way through this entire parasha, whether who got Eretz Yisrael, was it Yetzer Mitzrayim, or was it Sur Meira? Was it Mekoshesh Eitzim? It's a Sur Meira. Was it family of Menashe? It's a Sur Meira. On the other hand, was it Boye Ha'aretz? As I say Toiv. Was it the Mapilim? As I say Toiv. And therefore, this is the idea. You cannot come into Eretz Yisrael treating Eretz Yisrael like another country, doing whatever you want, because what happens is that Eretz Yisrael takes you and spits you out. It's a Sur Meira and a Seitoy. That is the key to arriving here. That's the key to surviving here. And that is what this week's parasha is about. This week's parasha is about knowing the keys of how to survive Eretz Yisrael. So that's what Machlekus is, whether Boy Ha'aretz or whether it is the Yetzer Mitzrayim, the Sur Meira versus our Seitoyv. Let's go one stage further. We asked, if it's all about coming into Eretz Yisrael, what's the idea about sending it back to the grandfather and then moving down? What's the point? We discussed beforehand, you have Yaakov, there's Reuben and Shimon. Reuben has 9 children, Shimon has 1 child. Now there's 10 portions. Those 10 portions get sent back to Yaakov, who is in Mitzrayim, and then distributed fairly between the 2 sons, 5 each for Reuben and Shimon. What's that all about? Okay? So Shamshon Fal Hish says something very, very, very important. He says, let us look for one moment on the grandfathers who were in Mitzrayim, who never even left Mitzrayim. Yaakov. Yeah, this grandfather we're talking about, Yaakov, who's in Mitzrayim. What did he look like? What did his day consist of? A dafayomishe? Did he eat matzahs? Did he shake a lulav? Did he sit in a sukkah? He didn't have the Torah b'chlal. He was a slave. He did nothing. In fact, he was Memtesh Shari Tumah. He was 49th level of Tumah, one little bit of Tumah. He was an Oved Avodah Zarah. He had no connection with Rabbeinu Shlomo besides speaking like a Jewish tongue and wearing the clothes and not changing the names. That's it. But what did he look like? What did this guy look like? No Torah, no mitzvahs, Memtesh Shari Tumah, Avodah Zarah, a worker, a slave, a Muslim, finished. That was it. That's what he was. What does this guy look like? Look at his grandchildren who are coming to Eretz Yisrael. They were living on Mon. They had a teacher of Moshe Rabbeinu. They received the Torah at Sinai. Every day, they had nothing to concentrate on besides sitting down in the base medrash and learning. That's it. That's all they had. No business problems, no mortgage to pay, nothing. They can just sit and learn. What were they doing? How did their Shabbos look like? What did their Yom Tov look like? They were Kobonus. There was Trumas, there was Maisrus, there was, okay, not true, because Trumas came in Eretz Yisrael, but there was Kabonis, right? And there was all the mitzvahs, and there was Torah. You know, these people were going along in the streets in the desert, talking about Shver Rambam, yeah, discussing Reb Chaim. These people were Tamei Chachamim. And these people were going into Eretz Yisrael. And you know what these people were thinking? Ah, look at us, Baruch Hashem. Look what wonderful people we are. Look at our grandparents. Look how far we've come. These grandparents knew nothing. Look at us today. Says the Torah, you're making a big mistake. You're wonderful. And you're very, very classy. You know that? And you're well versed in Torah. And you're keeping a mitzvah. You're very observant. But you've got to know that when you're bringing in your Chedit Eretz Yisrael, you have somebody to thank. And that is your grandparents who you're looking down upon. Your grandparents who knew nothing. Your grandparents may not even kept the Torah. Your grandparents who were slaves gave you the future for you to be Tamid HaChachamim. They trained you. They gave you the tools to be where you are today. And you got to go back and you got to thank them. Because ultimately, these are the ones who helped you be where you are today. If they, in Mitzrayim, did not give the right chinuch to your parents, then would have been one of the fifth, or however much it was, who died in Mitzrayim. Only a fifth came out, or a 50th came out. The fact that they didn't know very much, but they may have had a Jewish pride, however you want to call it. Or the fact that they had the little mitzvahs that they kept, and the little emphasis on Emunah and Hashem, that when the time comes, if we will leave, we'll go to the desert with no questions asked. This helped you, Bigta Melech Chomin, today be where you are. And therefore you have to thank them. That is why, says the Sham Shem Fal Hish, when you go in to Eretz Yisrael, and we have these portions, and these portions are of the schus of those people coming to Eretz Yisrael, this big B'nai Torah, we've got to go back to the grandparents, and send all the packages back up to them, and they distribute it from there. Because they are the ones to thank. This, I don't believe there's a generation that is more aware of how true this vort is than today. The Baal Tshuva system today, the Baal Tshuva world, is something which is a new phenomena. And it's very, very easy for us to work and become a doctor in mitzvahs and have the top Merchaim Shel Yad Matzahs and a perfect Esri with all the blitas. Everything absolutely perfect, davening nets, and everything absolutely wonderful. And we look back on our grandparents, wherever they were in the old country, where they were, you know, and they didn't keep anything. And we look down at them, and we have no appreciation for them. You've got to know, says the Torah, that is wrong. Because you would not be where you are today were not for your grandparents. If they did not put in that little bit of Mesiris Nefesh, that little bit of knowledge to go against the tide, however it may be, you would not be where you are today. And therefore you have them to thank. And that is why, says the Torah, a very important message over here. We have a case over here where Chaim, where the Mesim Yorshim is a Chaim, where the grandfathers inherit the grandsons, because ultimately it is them you have to thank. It is crucial and it's critical that we've got to go back and thank our grandparents. We've got to thank and appreciate them for what they may have done. In South Africa, they say, the reason why the Kiruv world is so powerful in South Africa is because although the Litvish Yidden came over and didn't keep very much after the war, there are a few things they kept. They kept kashrus, most Africans kept kashrus, and a lot of them kept Taras HaMishpacha. And although they may not have kept anything else, but the foundations to creating grandchildren of B'nai Torah was there, and we have to thank them, and we have to appreciate them. And this is a lesson of this, going back to the grandparents. I'd like to move on one more lesson. Two more, actually, very quickly. Another lesson, I believe, is the Eretz Yisrael is all about caring about somebody else. It's all about pooling our assets and sharing them out individually amongst those people who need them. You know, if you look today in any phone book around the world, I know the Yellow Pages or the White Pages or British Telecom phone book, whatever it may be, I doubt you'll find a Gemach list in them. You won't find a Gemach list. No, free loan of microphones, free loan of chickpeas on Erev Shabbos, pacifiers, earplugs, you name it, Divrei Torah, nappies, you know, yeah, each person to their own. Unbelievable. If you look in the Madrich Haredi, is it Madrich called the Madrich Haredi, if you count how many Gemachim they are in comparison to how many names are on a phone book, Sunday made a calculation, is roughly every 8 people has one Gemach. Okay, every 8 people has one Gemach, and it's unbelievable. Everything for everything, right? What is the idea of taking the 10 portions of Reuben and Shimon combined? Reuben had 9 portions, Shimon had 1 portion, and taking them and sending them back and redividing them, because that is all about us. Eretz Yisrael is all about going in together and redividing our assets, or pooling our assets and helping each other up. Where did Klal Yisrael make the mistake? Was where they looked after themselves. They were sinners chinom, and we got thrown out of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, this is another very important message. You take your assets and you send it back and redistribute it. Whatever I have, you're more than welcome to have. You know, people talk about some. Unfortunately, some people aren't very polite, and they don't smell the way they should, and don't behave the way they should, and it's pushing on buses, and it's shoving on buses, you know, and you know, where I come from, I'm not used to that, blah, blah, blah. Or, you know, where I come from, I don't really have this in America, but in England, there's a bus queue. You ever heard of a bus queue? A bus queue is where you wait, and there's a line behind that waits for the bus. In other words, when the bus comes, it may sound a bit surprising, but when the bus comes, yeah, then the first person who's there gets on the bus first, and the second person gets on the second, and the third gets on the third. It does not work in what Gemara terms called the Alim Gvar, yeah? Whoever's strongest or the pointiest elbows gets on the bus, yeah? It doesn't happen. So you think to yourself, you know, what kind of country is this? You know what? It's a wonderful country, because Chas v'Shalom, if a person's stuck, if a person's in trouble, you can knock on the door in the middle of the night to any person and say, listen, I'm very sorry, I need your help immediately. Can you please take me to the hospital? And they'll take you to the hospital. You need a meal for Shabbos, go to any of these people who don't smell that great, according to you. They do. They smell great. How come Shmuel says they smell great? But they don't. And you go and say, listen, I'm very hungry, can I join you? And they'll take the little piece of chicken that they have for the whole family and give you a piece of it. They will do it, because that is Yidden. And that is Eretz Yisrael. And that's how we're surviving here today. We have a few parents in Emmanuel who are in trouble. 150,000 people in a boiling, boiling heat come out and say, we're with you. We're out there. We give you our vote. This is Klal Yisrael. This is who we are. And unless we build on that, we build on Avas Chesed, we'll remain where we are. We've got to build on Avas Chesed. We've got to build on Avas Chinom. That is who we are. Finally, the Chazal talk about that these women, Bnei Slavkod, comes after the pasuk that says, "Ube'ele lo yhoyu ish mipkudei Moshe v'Aaron haKohen asher pakdu es Bnei Yisrael b'midbar Sinai." In other words, from the list of people who were counted originally, no men survived. Explains Rashi, no men survived, but women did survive. Carries on the pasuk says, "V'tikravna Bnei Slavkod." What does that mean? What that means is that Bnei Slavkod were different to the men. The men said, we don't want to go to Eretz Yisrael. The men said, Na l'roish, v'nshuvu Mitzrayim, let's go back to Mitzrayim. And the women said, we want a portion of Eretz Yisrael. Women loved Eretz Yisrael, men didn't. What was the idea? Why is that? We have to know that women have an inbuilt appreciation to tznius. To tznius. You know, it's immaturity that is inbuilt within women. They don't have to show themselves, they have to make a lot of noise, unless we corrupt them, unless society corrupts them. But inbuilt, there's a sneers inside them. They don't have to go in front of a crowd and say, look at me, look at me, look at me. They don't need to. That's childish. Men have a feeling of ego, they've got to show themselves, they've got to conquer, they've got to hunt, they've got to be the winners. Women don't have to do that. They don't need that. They don't need it. They're quite happy doing what they have to do in a quiet and modest and controlled manner. It's a man who lost control again and again and again in the Midbar. By the Meraglim, by the Egel. The women didn't fall into any of these things. They were straight all the way through. They all came into Eretz Yisrael. All came into Eretz Yisrael. The men didn't. The men all died. They all came into Eretz Yisrael. Why to Eretz Yisrael? Why did they love Eretz Yisrael? Because Eretz Yisrael is all about tznius. Eretz Yisrael is all about humility. Eretz Yisrael is all about cancelling the ego. Why is it that Eretz Yisrael, you can have people living here on nothing? Nothing. Absolutely nothing, on pennies. They're starving and they're happy. And you get people who are earning huge amounts of money and they leave Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because Eretz Yisrael is all about tznius. Eretz Yisrael is all about looking after myself in a way that I'm not going to make myself a loud noise. I'm not going to try and push other people down. I'm not trying to live in a way that's ostentatious. If we try and make a lot of noise, and we do, and try and make other people happy, it's at the beginning of the end for Eretz Yisrael. Women have the sense of tzidkonius. They're straight. We have to learn from them. There's a famous story, the Briskerov in Brisk. They had a beautiful shul in Brisk. Beautiful shul. And it came Yom HaNeroim, and Yom HaNeroim had a choir. So the choir used to stand around the chazan to sing. One time, the committee decided that the choir should stand further up on the balcony and sing from there. Probably better acoustics or better surrounding sound, whatever it was. And that was near to the Ezes Noshim. So the Briskerov comes in and he sees the choir standing up in a balcony. And he was very upset. Don't change the minhag of shul. Looked a bit conservative. So he said, Boys, get down. So all the boys went down and walked next to the chazan. So this president of the shul stands up, says, no, we've decided that you should be up in the balcony. Boys, get up to the back of the balcony. So off they trundle up the stairs at the back of the balcony. And Briskarov says, no, boys, get down. And the president says, get up. And they're trundling up and down and up and down. And this is like, when is it going to stop? What are you going to do over here? So Briskarov turns around to Ezra Noshim and he says, women, ladies, how long are you going to allow your husbands to do this? And then the ladies started. Yay! Are you yelling at the husbands, you shagers, you behemoths, there's a Roth telling you to do something. What kind of thing is this? And you know, and the Briskarov understood that it was the women you can rely on to have straightness. They can do what has to be done. Even if it puts her husband in an uncomfortable position, that's what has to be done. To love Eretz Yisrael is to be straight, is to be humble, is to be modest, is not trying to make yourself a big name and a big, you know, and trying to make everyone happy and trying to impress people. We can never impress a goyim. We just got to do what we have to do in the correct way. And therefore, this is this week's parasha. Number one, Eretz Yisrael is acquired with Sur Mira and Aseh Toiv. Number two, we have to appreciate our past. We've got to appreciate our grandparents and our parents that helped us get to where we are. We can only build a country, we can only build our future if we appreciate the past. And thirdly, it is a concept of tznius and concept of good midas and keeping a low profile that will help us to continue to live in Eretz Yisrael and eventually, Ezra Shem, bring Moshiach.